I knew that I needed to start healing from what I now see was a pretty abusive relationship. I invited my closest female friends. On the day of the ceremony, I built two fires, one outside in the snow and one in my living room. Then I constructed in the fireplace. In the fireplace. Yes. I constructed an altar near the inside fire with a Bridget doll, candles of various colors, bundles of sage, and cedar shards. My 8 or 9 companions and I stood around the outside fire as the early evening sun went down, burning the old dry evergreens from the winter solstice. Then we went inside and sat by the fire in the fireplace in the living room. We smudged ourselves with sage, we chanted, we ate home-cooked food, and we talked about what mattered most to us. By the end of the evening, I felt validated and restored. I vowed to hold a similar ceremony on an annual basis as often as I was able. Bridget's Day, or Imbolc, which literally means the lactation of the ewes, representing the first stirrings of spring, is a pagan holiday celebrated at the midpoint of winter. This would be the start of February, when many North Americans are possibly noticing a groundhog shadow. It is also the traditional Catholic holiday of Candlemas, which is a time that many Christians take down their Christmas decorations, which they did the other day, I guess, here, and burn their evergreens. Legend has it that Bridget was originally a pagan, but then was recreated by Christians as a Catholic saint, Saint Bridget, the patron saint of poetry, healing, protection, fertility, and domestic animals. She was known for giving away her worldly goods, healing the sick, and assisting with childbirth. Water and fire, both symbols of purification and transformation, are associated with Bridget. The wonder of winter transforming to spring every year has always intrigued and amazed me. In recent years, I have been exploring my own personal transformation. From a maiden, a long time ago, to a middle-aged mother in the midst of finding herself, to a crone who I hope is becoming wiser in her later years. The jury's out. We'll find out as time goes by. I have honored my women friends, myself and Bridget, every year since 2004. This year marks the 20th anniversary of my celebration, as well as the 1500th anniversary of Bridget's death, which historians say occurred around 524. When I read about that in a full-page article in last year's State Journal, I was reinvigorated to find out more about this pagan goddess. Last year, in Ireland, it was the first year that Bridget's Day was honored as a national holiday. It was the first honoring a woman. St. Patrick got his holiday designation 120 years ago. I'm so glad St. Bridget finally got hers. According to the journal article, Bridget is seen as, quote, embodying women's empowerment, environmental care, and peacemaking in an Ireland that is increasingly casting off traditional forms of Catholicism, end quote. It feels refreshing to learn that nuns in the Catholic tradition not only embrace St. Bridget, but her precursor, the pagan goddess Bridget as well. Perhaps the Irish have come to believe that many religious groups can harmoniously coexist, Catholics, Protestants, and pagans. For many years in Ireland, this was not possible. And yeah. I have always concluded that the similarities among religions transcend their differences. Most religions profess a desire for peace, love, and harmony among humans. They seek understanding, awareness, and knowledge. The folks I know who adhere to a faith tradition say their faith gives them comfort and security, as well as a community to rely on in times of need. For a long time, I couldn't really put a label on what I believed or acknowledge which faith tradition I felt drawn to. I love the tenets of Buddhism, the rituals of paganism, and the solidarity of my UU community. In many ways, I feel I have designed my own faith tradition, which has helped me navigate the world in a way that feels right. As St. Patrick is the well-known patron saint of Ireland, St. Bridget is often regarded as a patroness saint or a matron saint, as the new generation calls her. Both St. Bridget and the pagan goddess Bridget represent the return of the light, the growth potential of the seeds under the earth, and the hope of spring to come. Picture this scene. It's a night in early February. Outside, the stars might be shining upon a snowy world, or maybe it's rainy, and a penetrating cold has descended on the earth. Inside my warmly lit living room, a circle of women is sitting near the fire beside a colorful altar. There are candles on the altar, each one representing a different hope or value. Green is for renewal. White is for healing. Red is for transformation. And black is for banishment of fear. There are mementos, photos, and special objects placed there by those who are so moved. I've placed a few dolls and a special cloth given to me by friends in past years, and we spend some time discussing the objects on the altar. My friends bring a variety of foods to enjoy in addition to the red lentil soup I usually make, and the foods are really good. After we eat, drink, and socialize, we stand in a tight circle and someone invokes the four directions. This ritual is an opening to the rest of the evening. It is a way to honor the space we're in and give us strength and resilience for the year ahead. At this point, we smudge the room as well as ourselves with sage that I picked the last time I was in the Southwest. We try not to burn ourselves or drop embers on clothing, which has happened in the past. At this point, it's time to spiral inward and give voice to what is foremost in our hearts. The idea is that each of us shares out and the others just listen. We discuss many things: our health, our family members, partners, and children if we have them. We lament the state of the world, concerned about the future of all children. The year my father died, many of us reflected on the lives of elders we had recently lost. In 2016, Trump had just been elected president, and many of us had joined in a flash mob and the Women's March a few weeks before. We shared our apprehension about the 4 years to come. In 2018, a few of us were preparing to adventure down the Colorado River on a rafting trip, and I, as the trip leader, was feeling terrified. The following year, there were stories, hair-raising and inspiring, from some of the women who'd gone on the trip, some of whom are in this audience today. The honesty and vulnerability shared by my women friends stay with me long after the subjects of the stories have faded from memory. Many of us may be hurting or navigating difficult times. This is a hard time of year in Wisconsin. Spring isn't just around the corner, except for maybe it is this year. At our ages, many of us are feeling vulnerable, anxious, lonely, or in the midst of a crisis. Coming together to share stories from our lives in honor of Bridget, who had the backs of her sisters 1,500 years ago, creates a feeling of unity and power and a renewed honoring of her story. We always join in a simple chant at the start or the end of our sharing. Sometimes a few of us present a piece of special music that we practiced. We then close the circle and bid the four directions farewell. I make bananas a la Bridget. Bananas sauteed in butter and brown sugar. I douse them with brandy and light them up. A ring of blue fire leaps up and then dies away in the hot pan. We consume them with ice cream. And then some of the women begin to take their leave, while others help me clean up. When all have left, my house still pulses with an emanating warmth that it holds on to throughout the rest of the winter. There are predictable routines to my annual ritual, of course, but every year I include different aspects as well. The years 2021 and 2022, due to the COVID pandemic, required me to hold the ceremony outside. In 2021, I did two sessions, since we were worried that too many people huddled around the fire together would be dangerous. Four or five women showed up between 5 and 7, and another four or five came from 7 till 9. I had lentil soup heating in one crock pot on a table and hot mulled wine in another. The fire required a lot of tending, since if it died out, it would get very cold. It was pitch dark in my backyard, so no one noticed when many of the claws, at least two, caught on fire from the sparks. In 2022, we also celebrated outside, though I recall folks coming inside to help me clean up afterward, and everyone seemed less concerned about getting sick than the previous year. Was it the vaccinations? Or were we feeling Bridget's protective cloak surrounding us? Or perhaps it was the Eastern screech owl that serenaded us that year with its haunting trilling. As we sat around the dying embers, it seemed to be responding to the echoes of our chant. The timing was magical, as owls are seen by many cultures as symbols of wisdom, intuition, and prophecy. Perhaps our owl neighbor was acting as a harbinger of hope and promise for the year to come. People from many cultures hold ceremonial rituals as a way to ground them in the seasonal cycles of the year. In northern countries, folks celebrate the midpoint of spring with a Beltane ceremony that may include music, dancing, food, and a maypole. In Cusco, Peru, there is a huge celebration called Inti Raymi to honor the sun god at the time of their winter solstice on June 21st. Day of the Dead in Mexico and Samhain in Ireland are honored at the start of November each year with special foods and altars to remember the ancestors. Our solstice service at Reeb is another example of an annual ritual. There are always aspects that are the same, as well as things that change from year to year, lending familiarity as well as a bit of excitement. And so it is with my Bridget's Day ritual. It feels like there are potent reasons why seasonal rituals exist. These ceremonies are not merely ways to escape life's turmoil for a few hours or days, but a way to acknowledge forces that are larger than ourselves. It's common knowledge that the earth revolves around the sun one time each year, and no matter where we live, one season transforms to another. This annual cycle brings about marvelous natural changes, which we can usually predict. Nowadays, however, there are unpleasant surprises as well, such as 50-degree days in January. These come more often now due to climate breakdown. 20 years ago, when I hosted my first Bridget's Day gathering, climate change wasn't a household term. Now it is. As the seasons change, so does the world, often in troubling ways that we cannot predict. Our lives also unfold in unpredictable ways. 20 years ago, I was a single mother of two young sons working full-time as a teacher with at-risk children. It was all terribly overwhelming. I feel more settled now, even as the world seems to be spiraling more wildly out of control than ever. How might the world be in another 20 years? How will I, as an elderly person by then, if I'm still around, be navigating it? As I live each moment, honoring with ritual the special moments that mark the earth's turning, I hope to be able to roll with and even embrace the inevitable changes. I crave rituals because they ground me in what is happening in the here and now. They help me cope with our rapidly shifting society. They uplift me and give me hope. Holding an annual midwinter gathering where I surround myself with trusted friends is one powerful way for me to honor this moment in the Earth's journey around the sun. And it's also been gratifying over the years to learn more about a dynamic figure in pagan history, the goddess Brigid, and to share this knowledge. I feel it is a validation of who I was, who I am, and who I am becoming. Happy Imbolc, everyone.
I'd like to point out for those of you who may not have noticed that we raised a little power in that reflection because just at the end of when Kirsten was speaking, the sun came out. We invite you now to participate in an Imbolc ritual with us. We honor the energy of the elements within us. We are air. We are movement. We are open. We are fire. We are bright. We are hot. We are intense. We are aroused. We are water. We are fluid. We are clear. We are vital. We are renewed. We are earth. We are dark. We are heavy. We are substantial. We are grounded. Blessed be. Kirsten will now give us a brief description of the items on the Brigid altar and their meaning.
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay. So this is a little altar that I got together this morning, and some of the items have been on my altars for the full 20 years. Some of them, of course, are brand new and fresh because a lot of them are from the earth. This, I can show this first, is a traditional Brigid's cross made with straw, which I unfortunately did not make myself, but it was made by a wise woman. And we have a lot of beautiful bundles of greens. If you come up later, you can maybe smell them. They smell like cedar. They smell a little bit like lavender, other things like that. Beautiful emanating smells. I have my sage. Here's some sage from a local garden that a friend brought last night. It's not quite bundled tightly enough, so it got a little out of control when we lit it. You light it and then you waft the smoke onto the person you're purifying. So we'd light this and then blow it out and then waft smoke onto the person. And it smells really nice, beautiful. So feel free to smell it too. Here's a bundle that's a little bit tighter rung. A little bit more under control, this one. Here is a nice cloth. You can see what happened during that. What can you say, you know, and you're outside and you can't see the sparks. Things like this happen. We have some seeds. Calendula seeds. No. Yes. Calendula seeds that we're going to plant in the winter, I guess, under the snow. Here's a necklace made for me by a friend who passed away last year since I did my last ceremony. I like to put things like this on the altar. Here is a shell, which is a very nice spiral. You can see it. And then my illustrious Brigid dolls, made for me by a friend many years ago and purchased for me by another friend. They sort of go along with the scene, you know, sort of what it is. And then we have the evergreens that are still green. And we did burn quite a few of them, but decided to keep a couple of them here for your enjoyment. So feel free to come up and look at it after the service. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening and for participating with your event. Appreciate it.
I'd like to invite you now into a guided meditation and visualization as part of our ritual. So I invite you to get comfortable in your seat or however you're most comfortable. And let's begin by taking a deep breath in and slowly letting it out. Now, please close your eyes or look at the floor a few feet away from you and unfocus your gaze. Feel your feet on the floor and your body in the chair. Give your body permission to relax into the safety of this moment. I'm going to take you on a journey. I invite you to follow the story and picture in your mind each scene. See yourself doing what I describe. You're traveling along a snowy path on a warm winter day. You feel the softness of the snow under you, and you notice the quiet hush around you as you enter a patch of woods. The trees around you seem welcoming. You notice that the path continues, curving to the right, and you decide to keep following it. This is a trail that other humans have made, and perhaps animals too. You are curious about where the path may lead. After continuing a while, you begin to sense that you are going in a circle. You notice some of the same trees, the same landmarks, yet from a different point of view. As you go on, you realize that the path is spiraling closer and closer to what may be at the center. Finally, you come upon a small clearing. It feels still warmer there, where all the trees of the sheltering woods have blocked the wind. In the middle of the clearing is a small stone cottage. A woman with red hair stands in the doorway. "My name is Bridget," she says. "Come in to the center." Bridget invites you to take a seat by the inviting fire burning in her fireplace. The warmth is comforting, and you feel safe and welcome. Bridget takes a chair opposite you. You both sit a while in silence, resting, peaceful. Bridget reaches into her cloak and pulls out a small pouch. She opens the pouch and takes out a seed. She holds the seed out toward you in her open palm. The seed seems to glow with the golden color of Bridget's fire, and you sense that it is filled with life. You pick up the seed that Bridget offers. It feels warm in your hand. It seems familiar. You realize that the seed is a part of you. Bridget says, "This seed is the beginning of something deep within you. Something that you haven't been ready to explore or bring forth yet. But now, it's ready to germinate and grow. Take it with you." And now, as we pause in our story, I invite you to consider, What seed within you may be germinating and ready to spring forth? You tuck your seed into a pocket of your coat next to your heart. You thank Bridget for her gift. As you leave her cottage and retrace your way back along the path, opening into the wider world, you notice signs of change all around you. Birds are beginning to sing. Snow is melting back. There's a freshness in the air. You realize that the season has now turned and that you have changed too. And now open your eyes and slowly come back to this room. Stretch, wiggle if you need to. In the coming days, I invite you to remember the seed that was Bridget's gift to you. Watch for it to germinate and grow. Thank you for honoring Imwolc with us this point of power in the turning of the year. We'll now release the four directions. May the blessings of air and of change remain in us. May the blessings of fire and of passion remain in us. May the blessings of water and renewal remain in us. May the blessings of earth and of grounding remain in us. Blessed be.